In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved Christ, St. Gregory the Great and St. Thomas Aquinas say that the virtue which regulates our exterior resides in the interior. They further claim that the way we behave outwardly gives clear proof of the virtue which does or does not have root in our soul. I've spoken many times about modesty in dress and the guardianship of the eyes. This time I'll take a somewhat different approach in addressing this grave concern. In the past, I've often given examples of indecent styles and fashions that pose a serious occasion of sin for others. I'm sure you're quite aware of what is considered decent or indecent in your attire. That is, if you haven't been totally desensitized by society. Let's go to the essence of the problem and show how attire actually affects the soul and reveals its inner habits. It was through the manipulation of women's fashions that the Masons and other enemies of the Catholic Church planned the corruption of women in order to attempt to destroy the Catholic Church. My dearly beloved in Christ, the virtue of modesty is implanted in the mind so that our outward dress and deportment is merely a manifestation of our interior. Thus, if we dress indecently, it's evident that the virtue of modesty is not a habit in our soul. Further, our manner of dress most definitely influences our body language, conduct, and conversation. In short, our outward dress, if indecent, is a plain indication of the disorder that reigns within our soul. When we speak of modesty of dress, especially for women, we're not speaking of something which should be taken lightly as if it were a mere personal choice of style. Decent dress is not an option. It's most definitely a moral obligation. It's a serious matter of the soul, a matter which will have an effect one way or another, not only on our own eternal salvation or damnation, but also on that of others. Knowing that men are visually stimulated at the sight of a scantily clad female, it's extremely selfish, vain, and sinful for a woman to insist on wearing clothes that reveal as much of her body as possible. There are certain absolutes which God has ordained from the beginning and which are not subject to changes brought about by culture, time, and society. The law of decency is one of them. My dearly beloved Christ, it matters not what is accepted by the majority or what is present everywhere. Just because so many women and girls dress indecently does not mean that it's permissible according to God's law. Common practice is not the gauge for what is morally right or wrong. By the sixth commandment, Almighty God requires us to be chaste in our manner of dressing and acting so as not to make the virtue of chastity difficult for others. This especially holds true for women. The modest allure of the feminine mystique has been generally lost by our society. A society that has debased women to the animal level, blinding many to any deeper purpose of existence than that of physical appeal. Women and girls who fall prey to such a false value system and who wear indecent attire are allowing themselves to be used for selfish purposes. When they lose this appeal, they're replaced by another in our throwaway society. The sad situation of our present preteen and teen young ladies can often be attributed to their mothers. This is brought out strongly by Rebecca Hagelin, a commentator, in her article, America's Little Girls or Tramps. The article appeared on the WorldNet Daily, and then excerpts from it were used in the Washington Times. In this article, Mrs. Hagelin writes, "The sad fact is that a lot of today's tween and teen girls dress like streetwalkers. How do so many little girls end up looking like sex objects? How? Because their parents let them. Face the facts. Most 12 to 16-year-olds don't have access to a lot of cash, unless, of course, their parents give it to them. And it's usually the mom who happily drives the little darlings to the mall for a fun day of shopping. Face it, little girls dress according to what their mommies allow. and often according to how their mommies dress. I thought mothers were supposed to protect their daughters, to teach them to value themselves and their bodies. What chance does a little girl stand of keeping her childhood, her innocence intact, when it's mommy that's driving her to the store and paying for the skimpy seductive clothing, the itty-bitty skirts, the hipster jeans, and the plunging necklines? And when did fathers start letting their precious little girls dress like ladies of the night? Hello? Is anybody out there? The awe and respect that used to surround womanhood, the modest mystique of femininity, has been replaced by indecent exposure before a lustful world. Due to the moral degradation and perversion of our age, this is the worst time in history to lower or disregard God's standards of modesty and decency. Many of us have seen classic sporting events, television shows, and documentaries of the early 50s, which showed live audiences, crowds of people, or groups of spectators. A quick scan at these people reveals modest and well-dressed women, and in addition, men dressed in suits and ties. Past audiences of fine performances were even more nicely dressed. This is a sad judgment on the slovenly and indecently dressed audiences of today. Sadly, some people even attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass dressed sloppy, or even worse, in an indecent attire. My dearly beloved Christ, although indecent clothing and pornography will draw the sinful attention of many, women need to realize that they are most attractive when they dress modestly, for it enhances their femininity and adds to the feminine mystique. Since a woman's power for good or evil is nearly boundless, her moral responsibility is appalling. Women are more unselfish by nature than men, although when a woman is selfish, she takes all the prizes. Feminine vanity is a form of selfishness. Sadly, when a woman selfishly chooses to wear indecent clothing, she not only injures her own immortal soul, but is responsible for the lustful thoughts and actions of others. Those who dress immodestly are the devil's instruments for the ruin of souls. As far back as the 4th century, St. John Chrysostom lamented the sins caused by indecent attire and said, "You carry your snare everywhere and spread your nets in all places. You allege that you never invited others to sin. You did not indeed by your words, but you have done so by your dress and your deportment. When you made another sin in his heart, how can you be innocent? Tell me, whom does this world condemn? Whom do judges punish? Those who drink poison, or those who prepare it and administer the fatal potion? You have prepared the abominable cup. You have given the death-dealing drink, and you are more criminal than those who poison the body. You murder not the body, but the soul. And it is not to enemies you do this, nor are you urged on by any imaginary necessity, nor provoked by injury, but out of foolish vanity and pride." My dearly beloved Christ, women are truly the moral compasses of society. Even Confucius said that woman is the moral root of society, and that the culture will grow only in proportion to the moral strength of its women. Hence, if any group would seek to destroy a country or society, they need only to corrupt the women. Perhaps this is why the serpent first tempted Eve. Freemasons understood this well. Thus, in their attempt to undermine and destroy the Catholic Church, they not only infiltrated the seminaries and religious houses, but also the fashion world. The rule of the Freemasons says, Catholicism can be overcome not by logical argument, but corrupted morals. Looking at the sad situation of the church today, we can see that many Catholic women Young ladies and teens have proved this true by their immodest dress. Market conditions have made decent clothing for women difficult to find. However, there are many conservative options available in reputable stores, catalogs, and on good websites. Our Lady of Fatima warned certain fashions will be introduced which will offend our Lord very much. Persons who serve God must not follow the fashions. The church does not have fashions. My dearly beloved in Christ, you probably heard gourmet chefs on the cooking channel say that when it comes to food, presentation is everything. Presentation is everything, not just with food, but also with your body. We said it before, we'll say it again because it's so important. You teach people how to treat you. Either you teach them to treat you with respect, or you teach them to treat you with disrespect. Whether you intend it or not, the way you dress, modestly covering the most visually stimulating parts of your body, or immodestly revealing as much of your body as you can get away with, sends others a message. After hearing Shannon Etheridge speak on the radio about the importance of modesty, 20-year-old Christy wrote the following in a letter. When I first began working at a Christian summer camp as a Christian summer camp counselor, I decided I would not date a guy at camp so I could focus wholeheartedly on the girls in my cabin. I wanted so much for them to like me and to think I was cool that I dressed in the latest young fashions. Snug-fitting, low-rise jeans, short shorts, spaghetti strap tank tops, or tops that were short and clingy enough to resemble the popular crop tops when I was moving around, but long enough that I couldn't be accused of dressing inappropriately. I succeeded in being well-liked by the girls at camp, but I also had the attention and so-called admiration for some of the male camp counselors. I decided I could just play it cool and clown around with these guys. They chased me around with water guns, gave me piggyback rides to the cafeteria, slipped ice down the back of my shirt, and fun stuff like that. I kept asking them to please leave me alone so I could concentrate on the girls, but they rarely respected my request, no matter how firm I was. Essentially, they were saying, "What's the matter? Isn't this what you want?" Christy began to realize how stupid and foolish she was being. No, this was not the type of attention she wanted. She did not want to be noticed and disrespected. She wanted to be noticed and respected. I complained to one of the other counselors about how the guys were distracting me from what I came to do. The counselor put her hand on mine and sweetly said, "Christy, your actions speak louder than your words. Even though you don't intend to dress to catch guys, they can't avoid noticing you dressing the way you do. If you dress like a cute little plaything and present yourself as a toy, the boys will be boys and try to play with the toy." The following year at camp, I dressed decently and modestly. The boys didn't mess with me much, so I was really able to pour a lot into the girls. I left camp that year feeling so much better about myself than the year before. Our congratulations to Christy for figuring out that the way she dressed influenced how others viewed her and for changing her wardrobe so that others would treat her with respect. My dearly beloved Christ, in her book entitled Every Young Woman's Battle, Shannon Etheridge has written, "I'm stunned by how girls walk into a youth group wearing totally immodest clothes. Don't they know they're in church? Don't they know that boys are visually stimulated? Don't they know they give people the wrong impression when they dress seductively for attention? Unfortunately, too many young women don't realize these things, or if they do, they're so desperate for attention, even if it's unhealthy attention, that they ignore wisdom. But if you want to be a young woman of sexual integrity, you'll be different, smarter, You'll teach your guy friends how to treat you with dignity and respect rather than teaching them that you are eye candy or a toy for their sexual jollies. When you catch a young man's eye, it'll be because of the way you carry yourself with confidence and character, not because of your skimpy attire. The guy whose head you turn with your inward beauty will more than likely be a godly young man who could possibly make a great husband someday. Not some Joe Schmo who just wants your body for his temporary pleasure. You'll look to God's Word and Our Lady as your model and determine how you dress and be an example of purity and modesty for your generation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.